This hour we're talking about the place where Islam and the West meet. And sometimes we meet in a work of fiction. Here's Egyptian novelist Ala Al-Aswani reading from his novel Chicago. The novel is about the tension between Egyptians who left home long ago to live in Chicago and younger, newly arrived students who are still fighting for reforms back in Egypt.
You still remember Egypt? He smiled and said, "Of course. And by the way, what's happening in Egypt these days? What I read in the newspapers worries me. On the contrary, recent events make one optimistic. The Egyptians have awakened and started demanding their rights. The corrupt regime is shaking hard, and I believe its days are numbered. Don't you think the demonstrations and the strikes will lead the country to anarchy? We cannot obtain freedom without paying a price. You think Egyptians are ready for democracy? What do you mean? I mean that half of the Egyptians are illiterate. Wouldn't we do better concentrating on teaching them how to read and write? Egypt has the oldest parliament in the East. Besides, illiteracy does not impede the practice of democracy, as witnessed by the success of democracy in India, despite the high illiteracy rate. One doesn't need a university diploma to realize that the ruler is oppressive and corrupt. On the other hand, to eradicate illiteracy requires that we elect a fair and efficient political regime."
Ala Al-Aswani reading from his novel Chicago. Ala Al-Aswani is one of the top-selling novelists in the Arab world. Steve Paulson sat down with him to discuss writing, religion, dentistry, and, yes, politics.
When you are presenting the interests of the very big multinational corporations, it is much, much easier to deal with a little dictator than dealing with an elected government, you see. If you are, for example, the chairman of GM, for example, and if you have, for example, a dictator in a country in the Arab world, usually he's corrupt and you could get through the market very easily, you see. It's much better than dealing with elected people who would tell you yes once and 10 times no, you see. And I mean, it's not only for the Arab world, it's for Latin America as well. So I don't personally, and I think many Arab intellectuals think the same way, I don't wait very much or any support at all from the Western governments. And I think that achieving democracy in our country is our own homework, and we must do it ourselves, you see. So I don't expect much. I see the difference between the foreign policy and the people. So I do care about explaining what's happening in Egypt for the American intellectuals, for the American general opinion, for the Western intellectuals. But for the Western governments, I don't wait for really a real support from them.
Mm-hmm. So if your vision of the successful Egypt of the future is a country, a government that is both secular and democratic, where does religion fit into that picture?
The religion is a part of the Egyptian culture and civilization, but what you are referring to is very different from religion. You're referring to the political religion, and I am absolutely against the political religion. I mean, religion should be kept as a relation between somebody and God, you see. In politics, I accept only political parties. I do not accept people who are presenting God in the parliament.
Now, it's worth pointing out that you are also a dentist by profession. Do you still practice as a dentist?
Well, till 2002, I had no choice. I had to practice, I had to work as much as any other dentist to support myself and my family. But now, you see, I earn money, good money from my books, and I can quit dentistry. But I insist to see my patients twice a week, and I have other colleagues who are working with me in the clinic, and they take care of the work. But I see my patients only twice a week.
But why do you see any patients at all? It sounds like you've had enough success that you could be a full-time writer.
Yes, but a full-time writer in fiction is a term that probably should be explained, because in fiction, myself, I cannot write fiction more than 4 or 5 hours a day, you see. You could probably, if you are a non-fiction writer, you could write much more. When I write non-fiction, I could write continuously for 12 hours, you see. But something which is, has something to do with the nature of fiction writing, I cannot exceed never 4 hours. You see, I lose concentration, and I found it's fair. So dentistry was never a barrier against fiction writing for me. Second, dentistry is a wonderful opportunity to see people and see new people and to meet new people and to keep myself, you see, very close to the human feelings and how the people think. And I must tell you that also I give time to my patients much more than the time needed for the dental treatment. You see, I listen to them, they become my friends, I advise them, and I ask their advice for their advice in my even personal problems, and we become friends. So it's a wonderful place for me, my clinic, to meet people, because I care about the people themselves as much as I care about their teeth.
One thing I'm curious about is, how do you see the status of a writer, particularly a novelist in Egypt, compared to, let's say, a novelist in the United States? I mean, is it comparable?
Yes. I mean, we have the novel in Egypt has been all the time the most prominent novel in the Arab world. And I mean, we have had all the time the best novelists of the Arab language. And I must tell you that when talking about the traditions of literature in Egypt, we are talking about traditions that have been existing now for 40 centuries, you see. So we have this motivation and we have this tradition for literature, writing and reading literature. The difference is that you cannot make your living from literature, even if you are a very successful writer in Egypt.
Why is that? I mean, don't you sell enough books to be able to make a living?
No, because it's a copyright problem, you see. It's a copyright problem because I think in the whole Arab world, your rights as a novelist are not protected by the law. And I think this is a very political thing inside this, because I believe that all the Arab dictators, they don't feel very comfortable with the idea of an independent writer, you see, because a writer who is earning money from his writings becomes more and more outspoken and more dangerous to the regime. So I think they keep this hole in the copyright system, you see, so that the writers will be all the time in need to write either for the government or to do another job, you see. And I think it's totally a political issue.
Ala Alaswane is one of the top-selling novelists in the Arab world. His latest novel is called Chicago. Steve Paulson spoke with him.